Hey, everybody, I'm Jim Powers, and we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and another packed show today as we're going to keep with our spring sports theme. We're going to head out to the diamond first, then we're going to go into the pool a little bit to talk about some water polo, then we'll finish up with some girls soccer with Pat Turner out at Deschenes. What a great year they're having. But a team that's really, really hit the scene on the baseball front this year, having a terrific season, is the Eureka Wildcats. And right now sitting at 21-4-1, and their head coach, James Daffron, joins us. And coach, what a great season for you guys. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Let's talk a little bit about the season so far. And you guys have just really come out of the gate strong, you know, open up winning five and then winning another five against some really tough competition. Talk about how the season's gone, especially trying to juggle all the weather and what Mother Nature's been throwing us as of late.
Well, I would definitely love to make a comment on the weather. March and April have been horrible. You could probably ask every baseball coach out there, every spring coach, that it feels like you're standing sideways every day fighting the wind. I mean, seriously, do we have 25, 40 mile an hour wind every day? So there's been a lot of games where you have outfielders just standing 20 feet behind the dirt because you have the wind blowing straight in at your face. And then you hit a line drive out there and here it comes backwards, you know? So yeah, the weather, you know, with rain and the wind, but we've been very fortunate. We've only had to move two games. So our field dries out fast and we've really kind of hit at really good times with the weather. So we've been fortunate in that area. I think we had to reschedule Lindbergh. We played that last Saturday and we had to reschedule Parkway South. But then other than that, we haven't had to reschedule any other games. So
how fun was it opening the season down at Vero Beach? And you guys, a nice trip down there, but just getting a group of kids, a young group too, because really when you look at your roster, it's a good mix, but you got some youngsters on there. How cool of a bonding experience was that for you guys to really set the table for the rest of the season?
Well, that Florida trip really does that for us. That's one of the most important things about the Florida trip is it gets all the kids together and they're gelling. And then when I make rooms, it's always a senior, junior, and sophomore that are in rooms together. So everyone gets to know each other. These seniors might have no idea who these sophomores really are, or, you know, their personality or anything about their life or, you know, they need to know that stuff, you know, what the kids like and they don't like, and they need to learn their personality and what really makes them tick and what really makes them go as an athlete, but also as a person. So that Florida trip to me is that is the most important aspect, is the team bonding and really getting to know each other throughout the year. So after we're done with that week, it's almost like we've been together playing for 2 months, you know, just from those 6 days of basically living together. You know, you don't have a choice. So, you know, you do everything together. We play together, practice together, you eat together, sleep together. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a family. So that trip's great for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the tournament down at Jeff City, you played some great competition down there. And then obviously the conference, the Suburban, the side you guys play in, it is brutal year in and year out. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things to where everybody brings their A game every day of the weekend, especially since you guys, and we're going to get into this in a minute, you're playing those back-to-back games in conference play during the week instead of having everything spread out a little bit.
Yeah. So our conference, I'm not going to say that we are the best conference in the state, but I'll put it up there next to anyone else's conference. It's that tough. And every single team in that conference every year is at a very, very high level. You'll see every team, I mean, you're going to win districts or they go on a state run. And then we have to play each other back to back. So you're facing every single person's number one and number two every week, day in and day out. The high level of coaching that all the teams have and the high level just play in general with athletes, it makes it very, very tough, but it makes it very fun. Because, you know, not playing much competition gets a little boring. So you really, you know, it's fun to battle together. It's fun to go through that adversity together. You know, try to, in the same goal of trying to, you know, win and competing together. So that's why I love it being in this conference and playing the home and home.
I was just going to ask you, because that's relatively new. You guys have only, you know, everybody has kind of went to that model, and it's only been over the last couple of years that you've gone to playing that either Tuesday, Wednesday, or that Tuesday, Thursday against conference, to where, like you said, you're going to see the number one, you're going to see the number two, you know, back to back instead of everything spread out a little bit.
Yeah, so we started that actually, I guess maybe it was the suburban south that we were in or the suburban west. I can't remember, but we started doing the home and home some years back before COVID. And then all of a sudden we, you know, they brought out that pool play or the different color pools. And then that kind of, we stopped doing it. And so then we started again next or last year or maybe the COVID year, we wanted to bring it back, but we started again next year or I mean last year. And then it's awesome. So Parkway West is going to join us. I don't know if that's already out yet, but they are joining us next year. So that's great. If we could get another team to make it 8, that would be even better. So, but yeah, it's a great thing. And I think a lot of other conferences are seeing it. It really, you know, it teaches your team how to compete. It makes for really good baseball. It really does.
No doubt about it. Well, you guys have got a really great team. And the name that jumps off the page to me, looking at your team, is Dakota Jogers. What a year he is having. 19 runs batted in, batting nearly 400. I mean, he's been that guy for you offensively at the plate.
Yes, all year Dakota has. And if you watch him play, it's one of those guys, he makes the game look easy because he's very athletic, he's very talented. And when he swings the bat, it's amazing. You know, it's a thing that we preach all the time at Eureka, is the very simple approach and very simple swing. And you always have to attack. He's always swinging and attacking the baseball. I mean, he never misses a fastball. He's always swinging at it. And then when he gets behind the count and he gets off speed pitches, he's attacking those too. I mean, it's amazing to watch him play. It's like, man, he just keeps going and going. Like, this kid doesn't stop. And I mean, what a leader he is. Great teammate. Kids love him. He's a great kid to be around. He is.
And then you got Aiden right behind him, Aiden McNamee, and he's having a great year as well. Once again, nearly 400, 12 runs batted in, some doubles and triples. I mean, it's nice having that 1-2 punch, you know, in the middle of your lineup to get the plate set for you guys.
Yes, McNamee's having a really good year at the plate. Also, his approach is simple. He has a lot of pop that I think a lot of people don't know, that he can really drive the ball to the gap into the wall. But I think one of the things that he's getting overlooked on is his catching. He's our leader on the defense. He is the quarterback of the defense. Aiden is. And he works so hard behind the plate. He blocks every baseball. His receiving is unbelievable. And, you know, teams don't like stealing off of him. So that's one thing I think gets overlooked also, is his defense and how awesome it's been for us this year.
Yeah, but I think defensively too, it starts on the bump for you guys. And I look here at the stats, it's like, okay, really, who is your number one? Because, you know, you've got Cole Edmondson, you know, 5-1, 109 ERA. Then you flip down this page a little bit, you got Jeremy Loomis, 5-0, 0.95 ERA. I mean, you know, it's got to be great to have arms that you could throw out, or if somebody's having a bad day, you could flip it real quick and go to somebody out of the pen.
Yes. Well, I think the main person that we forgot to talk about in that pitching staff is Asher Sink. He's been the leader of our pitchers. He's just been unfortunate for, he doesn't have the W's because of when we had to take him out, it was either tied or we might've been losing by one run. So that's something that's very, I mean, he is a pitcher that we got to watch for next year also. And then Jeremy being the senior leader, he's so hard to hit because he changes so many speeds. And then Cole Edmondson, he's only a sophomore. I knew he was a good pitcher, but oh my goodness. If you watch him throw, it's very hard to pick the ball up out of his hand. He has that whipping action, and then his off-speed pitches, he throws for strikes, and it's very hard to hit. And then we have our bullpen on the back that can come in and close games out with Evan Scheich. You know, he does a great job of closing games out for us. And also sophomore Brody Hunt does a good job, you know, doing that also for us. So the pitching staff has kept us, you know, it's kept us in the games. We've won a lot of games by one run. And you know how that is: one walk, one error, one hit, and we lose by one run instead of winning by one run. So the pitching staff has been the backbone for sure of keeping us in every game.
You know, the one thing I've talked to a lot of coaches about, and, you know, we've had, you know, Mason Horn on, we've had, you know, Tony Perkins, the Wiley veteran out at Howell, Tim Funkhauser over at Edwardsville this season that they're having. But the one thing that's really stuck out to me this, you know, over the last couple of years is how teams have kind of started going a little bit away from the big bopper, so to say, you know, the home run, and going to a lot of small ball. And I think because what we're seeing with the major college teams, when you look at what Tony Vitello is doing down at Tennessee using the small ball, you still got guys that can hit it a long way, but utilizing the small ball and just going station to station and generating runs. Are you seeing a lot of that on the high school level these days?
I think so. I think we're starting to see coaches transition to that. I mean, if you would talk to other coaches that know me, I bunt, I hit and run, I steal. A lot of people know that. I mean, I do. And just, you're going to have to defend it. And, you know, I hope their defense isn't able to defend it, but the game changer was the BB core bats for high school kids.
Yep.
You put a -3 and you put a BB core in their hands and it's 40 degrees and it's windy. That ball does not go very far. So you better know how to bunt. You better know how to hit ground balls and line drives. And that's been our motto all year is get the ball out of the air. I mean, we have a thing going on right now that we hand out the Can of Corn Award of the day. And it's to the guys that fly out the most. Like, nobody wants that. That is the award you do not want for every game. You have to date it and sign it, and it's a can of corn. And if you have the most flyouts of the day, you win the bat award. So it's all about line drives and grounders. So, and that's what's really helped us out a lot. And the kids have bought into that. We haven't hit any home runs this year.
Yeah.
We're not breaking the charts on doubles and triples either. But we have a lot of base hits. We can bunt. We can steal. We can hit and run. The kids have bought into that, and that's been our success on the offensive end.
And I think you're seeing a lot of that with just, you know, the evolution, like you said, the BB core, you know, once all those new rules and the legalizations and all that kind of stuff, you know, but I also see the baseball in the metro area has really, we've always had good players. We've always had great coaching, but this year more than ever, it's so even balanced. I mean, I sit here every week and do my top 10 poll and I scratch my head. I'm flipping coins and I'm like, where do you put people? Because there's just so much parity this year.
Yes. There's the talent pool is huge now, I think, in St. Louis. And I think, you know, we're starting to get a lot of recognition around the country. We have a lot of teams that travel and like, wow, man, these guys in St. Louis know how to play ball. Well, we're like, well, it's always been that way, but, you know, so we do get a lot of respect, but I mean, there's so many teams out there that it is like, where do you put them? It's our conference, like our district, we have so many teams that could make a run on state this year. I mean, you know, so it's hard to say every day on who is the top team. I mean, basically it's flip a coin, like you said, and whoever has the hot day that day. So
no doubt about it. Well, I know it's a busy time for you, my friend. It's always great catching up with you and appreciate everything that you do. And good luck the rest of the way. I know districts is coming up in a couple of weeks and looking for you where you can make a deep run.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not getting easier. I mean, we have the conference title on the line tonight and tomorrow against Lafayette. So that's a rival. So two big games tonight and tomorrow. So
no doubt about it, buddy. Well, thanks so much for the time. Good luck the rest of the way. And we'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Good luck to you.
The head coach over at Eureka joins us here on Inside the Lines. When we come back, we're going to go into the pool and talk some boys water polo. Coming up next on Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And always great to catch up with James Daffron from Eureka, talking a little baseball. But now, when you talk about the pool, you normally think about, okay, we're going to talk about swimming and diving. Not so much here in the St. Louis area anymore, because water polo has absolutely exploded here in the metro area. And one of the teams that's been leading the charge for many, many years in the water polo scene on the boys' side is John Penalia from St. Louis University. Hi, John. Thanks so much for your time. And the Junior Bills doing it again this year. Another great season so far.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, thank you for this chance. And yeah, we're having a great season, and it's nice to be back in the pool with a relatively normal season underway in St. Louis.
But let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, with a lot of the spring sports, you don't have the close contact. But with water polo, it's very close contact. And I know you guys had to go through a lot of protocols over the last couple of years. Talk a little bit about how you guys have been able to maintain and finally come back to that sense of normalcy that we've had this spring.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously 2 years ago, everything was wiped out. But then last year, even Just lots of challenges. The pool where we practice up at Forest Park Community College, they didn't open up for outside rentals. So we were scrambling for a pool. Because we're located in the city, there were different requirements. So our athletes were tested every 2 weeks. So that really limited the number of contests we could have because of that 48-hour testing window. So there was just a lot of crazy stuff. You know, I know every school went through a lot of different things, and, you know, we certainly were no exception. But yeah, like I said, it's nice to just be able to be back and playing, and you know, certainly COVID's around, but it's, you know, it's not in the forefront like it has been. And we've been able to have a regular schedule with, in terms of games and tournaments, and our pool schedule has been disrupted a little, but not COVID related. So, you know, it's nice to just, like I said, be able to just think about water polo.
Talk about your schedule. You guys played up at Elmhurst, York, then obviously the big round robin up at Recplex. You guys are sitting right now at 16-4. You know, just talk about the season and some of the top competition you guys have been playing all year long to get ready for the tournament run.
Sure. You know, we look forward. We've been going to York now for many years. And we really look forward to going up there early in our season. And just, you know, certainly there's a lot of great competition up in Chicago. And it's a good test for us to see where we're at. We always feel like we can come home with a kind of a barometer for what our season's going to be like. And it was no different this year. You know, our first game, we kind of got blown out by the host team. And that was a good wake-up call, you know, because I think we felt like we were pretty good. And we were reminded that we needed to still be working. And so we had a great game against Stevenson, who was number one at the time up in Illinois, and ended up beating them in overtime. So again, yeah, that was a great chance for us to just see where we're at. I mean, that after that Stevenson game, you know, I told the boys that, you know, I've seen how well you can play now. Now you have to replicate that all the time. So that's been the challenge. And again, like, as you said, the DeSmet invite at Recplex is always a great tournament. And then we just recently had the Lindbergh Invitational that was hosted at Kirkwood. And again, another great chance for us to play, you know, really the top teams in the area. And that was where we were able to see Parkway West for the first time. And again, just a chance for us to play our best. I mean, that's really our goal every time out there, is to just do our best, and the scoreboard will dictate what it does, but we want to do the best that we can.
Yeah, Parkway West, and we'll talk about just the growth here in a second, but you guys get Parkway West over there, you beat them, and you beat them handily, but then 4 days later, they kind of gave it back to you a little bit. I mean, is that kind of, you talked about a wake-up call a little bit with that game at the beginning of the year. Do you think the second Parkway West game may have been okay, now we've got it out of our system, let's get ready for the state tournament?
Sure. I told, you know, Greg from the Post the other day after the game, I texted Charlie Catelli, who's Parkway West coach. I texted him right after our first game, and I was already dreading the second game, because, you know, Charlie is a fantastic coach. He's one of my best friends in water polo and the coaching community. We've known each other since high school. So, you know, I knew Charlie would have his guys ready to go, and I knew that, you know, that wasn't indicative of what their skill and talent level was. So the second game at West was a lot more what we expected. And, you know, they just executed better than us, really plain and simple. We certainly had our opportunities and just weren't able to cash in, and they did. And it's a super tough pool to play in. It gets incredibly loud in there, but it's also, again, it's a great challenge for us to be able to have to play under those kind of pressure situations and see how we react. And yeah, as you said, now we kind of, it's a reminder, okay, we're not quite where we want to be. And here's what we need to do to fix it before the end of the season.
No doubt. And when we talk about your kids, the one that jumps off the page right out of the get-go, Cooper Scharf, you know, 207 points. He scored 91 goals on the year. Talk about him and how he has been your team leader this year.
Yeah, Cooper is a special player. I mean, there's just no really other way to put it. You know, he is, water polo is his second sport too. You know, he was Metro Swimmer of the Year. He's a multiple state champion in swimming, and water polo has kind of become his escape from that solitude of swimming to a team sport. And yeah, there aren't probably enough, you know, words to describe how great he is, you know, and it's, he puts in the work. You know, he's super talented, which I kind of joke around with some of the other players, like, you must be super frustrated because Cooper He just hops in, and it's just, it's a natural talent for him. You know, some guys have to work hard for what they get, and not to say that Cooper doesn't work hard, but he is just a naturally talented young man. And, you know, he's fast, he's strong, he's got a great shot. He plays great defense, which people kind of overlook in water polo a lot of times, but, he can guard anyone, and he can be, when he's at his best, he is unguardable. So it, as I've said to my assistant coach, Paul Bodnistel, who was the varsity coach here for a long time, having Cooper on the team makes you look like a really good coach.
And then obviously, you know, in there with him, you got Brandon Harris, who's got, you know, second on the team with 43 goals. I mean, you guys got a couple different weapons that you could utilize in different scenarios and different type of situations to get goals when you need them.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the secrets to our success, if you will, is we've got tremendous depth. We were a very young team last year, and, you know, we're at the point now where we're much more experienced. We've got Cooper, we've got Brandon, we've got Zach Brugnera, who's a senior, Joe Zarilli, who's our leader on defense, but is an offensive threat, Brody Nestor. There's just a bunch of options. And I try to remind the guys that all the time that, hey, it doesn't matter if our first or second option isn't there, because we feel super confident that our, you know, 3 through 8 guys are going to be able to contribute in really meaningful ways for us.
And then in the goal for you, Nicholas Figge has just been terrific, 15-3 on the year for you. I mean, and when you look at his save percentage, 0.521, I mean, that's pretty awesome when it comes to water polo and the high level of water polo that you guys play.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nick has been just tremendous for us. We didn't know going into the season, we've got 3 goalies up on varsity this year. And really it was a race for all of them to see who was going to grab it. And Nick grabbed it from probably his second game playing and hasn't let go. And at this point, you know, he's leading us in so many different ways. It's such a big confidence boost for our team when he's able to make a big save, especially early in a game, or make a great pass to on a counterattack to lead to a goal. But he just plays with a lot of confidence. He was his development was really hurt by COVID, again, like most people, but he switched to goalie as a sophomore. So he had never played goalie as a freshman. His sophomore season, his first season, was wiped out by COVID. Last year, he didn't start a game. He played very little behind our starter. And so he came in this year, and like I said, he's grabbed the opportunity and hasn't let go. And it's been a big reason for our success.
When you look at the state tournament that's going to start this week, you guys are the number 1 seed. West is the number 2 seed. But you look at the teams that are playing in the state tournament that have water polo. It has absolutely exploded. Talk a little bit about the growth and, you know, how other schools have really jumped on the bandwagon, so to say, to add water polo, because it is such a great sport. And especially with the success of the men's national team in the Olympics, and even the women's national team as well in the Olympics, absolutely, the growth of water polo has just been terrific.
Yeah, it's really great. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, this year, the depth of, there are so many teams that could make a really strong run into the semifinals or finals. You know, obviously I'm hoping that SLU is one of those, but you know, there's a lot of depth out there. There's club teams around the area that are really helping grow the number of athletes that are being exposed to the sport. And this year the biggest part of the growth in the sport has been on the women's side than on the girls' side, which hasn't helped us obviously, but it grows the sport. It gets us out there. You know, there are so many schools this year. I think there's 7 schools competing in an all girls district tournament. You know, Nearing is co-opting with Ladue. So, you know, we're getting some of those private Catholic schools that will hopefully slowly start building that up. And I think it's just good for, you know, the sport overall. Again, it doesn't necessarily affect SLU, but it affects water polo as a whole. And I think the more, you know, coverage we can get, the more we can get out there, it certainly helps everybody.
Absolutely. And when you look at the tournament, it'll start off on today, on Thursday, and then Saturday, everybody gets into the mix. And then you guys will crown your state champion next Saturday on the 14th over at MICDS. It's got to be good to see 21 boys teams, you know, and, you know, I look at it to whereas, yeah, it's not a mission sanctioned sport, but it's growing. And I compare it a lot to the boys volleyball scene, to where I remember when boys volleyball had 21, 22, 23 teams. Now they're on the cusp of being an emerging sport with Misha. And I honestly think that water polo is going to get to that point.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. You know, we'd love for it to grow, certainly locally, but if we can get some Kansas City teams on board as well, I think that would be super exciting. You know, just for competition, one of the best parts of our season is when we go up to Illinois and get to play those guys. When we have people come down for DeSmet, you know, from Ohio, or we've had people come up from Texas. So really being able to diversify outside St. Louis, I think would be awesome. And Kansas City is a great opportunity for growth. We've got more pools that are popping up around here. You know, Burroughs has a new pool, MICDS, Lindbergh's had their pool for a while now, but it's still a fantastic facility. So I think the more that we can have those too, these opportunities for you know, true water polo where it's all deep and it's the wide pool, it just makes the opportunity for growth even better.
No doubt about it. Well, I know it's a busy time as you're getting ready to start your tournament on Saturday at 2:30 against the winner of Pattonville Clayton, but it's always great to talk water polo. I'm definitely going to make it a point to get out to see some of the games during the tournament next week, and we wish you and the Junior Bills nothing but the best of success.
Thanks so much, Jim. Really appreciate the time today.
No problem. James Finilia joins us, this water polo coach over at St. Louis University High. When we come back, we're going to catch up with one of the guys in girls soccer. It's Pat Turner from Duchenne. The Pioneers having another terrific year on the pitch, and we'll talk it over with him right now. We're coming up next here on Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And always great, once again, catching up with James Daffron from Eureka, talking a little baseball. And then for the first time in the spring, talking some boys water polo with John Panilia from St. Louis U High as they get ready to start their state tournament here on Saturday. But we got to keep with soccer. We've been talking about it every week. And once again, another great season for the Duchenne Pioneers and their head coach Pat Turner joins us. And Pat, you just keep it going, brother. You just keep rolling year in and year out. How's everything going, man?
It's going great, Jim. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for giving us the chance to talk about the girls. And yeah, it's another exciting year. And we are rolling, that's for sure. And that's thanks to a really dedicated group led by seven awesome seniors. And just some great players. We returned everybody from a team last year and added four new freshmen. So we're real blessed with a great group of hardworking girls right now.
I know the last couple of years, Pat, have not been, I think, where you anticipated after winning, you know, state championship after state championship, but also with COVID and everything, it kind of threw a different dynamic into things. How nice is it to finally get back to some sense of normalcy this spring after dealing with not having soccer 2 years ago and then last year falling a little bit short of your goals, you know, and then this year really bouncing back and having a terrific season so far?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. It's been a roller coaster, especially, you know, we lose that COVID year, which for a small school especially, that could really set you back. You know, you get girls that – we're going to come play at your lower levels. And, you know, they didn't have a season. So then they come back as sophomores, or they didn't come back and they just didn't have anything to base that off of. So that was tough for us to really bounce back after that COVID year. And especially with the new Misha rules, with the points, the success points, you know, we're jumping right into the thick of it playing in class three as a class one school. So last year it was good. We had a solid squad, which, you know, pretty much everybody returned. We graduated two seniors, you know, backfilled those spots with some solid players. And now we're rolling where we expected to be last year. We kind of learned a lot about ourselves and what we needed to work on to go and compete, you know, with the St. Dominic's, with the Zumwalt Souths and the Liberties of the world. So I think it was good for us to kind of take one to the chin there a little bit last year and have a good learning experience. And yeah, that set us up, you know, fantastic for this year, where our girls hit the ground running day one. They were chomping at the bit to get the balls out and rolling and let's get to work right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And schedule wise, you guys don't shy away from anybody, number one. And I've known that for years and watching you guys play, you know, but with the jump up, and you just mentioned it with the championship factor, that bump up to three, you've got to continue playing that type of a schedule. And when you're seeing the likes of Notre Dame on your schedule, you know, St. Dom on your schedule, I mean, you know, you've got to play those games, especially when you're getting bumped up, to get you ready for the state tournament. Especially, I think class three is the deepest class this year on the girls soccer side.
It is. Yeah. And that's what we've tried to do always. Ever, you know, I've been with the program for 10 years now. And, you know, we've always talked about that. We want to have a tough schedule to where, you know, it might not look the prettiest in the wins and losses column every year, but we're going to be battle tested. And that's the most important thing. And what we've kind of learned about ourselves, you know, through year after year and going through these battle testings year after year is let's stop, you know, trying to not lose as bad in a game against a St. Dominic or a Liberty or whoever it is, a Notre Dame, you know, and go out and do what we can to win. And I think that's where we've really gotten over the hump this year where, you know, yeah, we went out and we played St. Dominic, lost 1-0 at their place. And I think that's the toughest place right now in girls soccer to go play and soccer in general to go play is Crusader Stadium. And leading up to that, you know, we told the girls we're not adjusting our formation. We're not adjusting our scheme to, you know, lessen the blow and lose by, you know, less goals than we should. We're going out there and we're going to play to win. And we're going to try to punch them in the mouth, you know, not literally, but figuratively here, we're going to try and, you know, surprise them because a lot of those good teams, the Zumwalt Souths, the Dominics, the St. Joe's, teams to sit there and play 10 players behind the half line. They'll pack it in on them. And that was one thing that my assistant, Allie Toon, and I really focused on with the girls this year is we're not going to back down from anybody scheduling-wise. And then when we play them, we're going to go out and give them everything that we got offensively and defensively.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get into the defense here in a second and your goalkeeper, because two goals given up all year long is unbelievable at this point. But let's talk about Gabby Schlapper, 12 goals, 29 points. She has just been an absolute phenomenal player for you guys, you know, this year, but also for the last couple of years.
Yeah, Gab's tremendous. Just a funny story about her. I didn't know anything about her coming into her freshman season. Her and her dad show up at camp and introduced and kind of, you know, heard some things from her club coaches a week or two prior, but that's about it. And then got to know her and it's like, okay, why'd you choose Duchenne? And she's like, well, every time we drive by the school for 3 or 4 years, we saw the state banners. And her dad said, she's like, I want to be in charge of putting one of those banners up. And her freshman year, she was the leader of our team as a freshman on and off the field. She was a tremendous leader. And helped, you know, surge that state championship run and was a class one player of the year. And just a phenomenal player, which clearly, you know, they've seen at the club level, the ODP level, Missouri State's taken notice and offered her a scholarship and she's going there. But it's just, she's just a tremendous young lady, like just involved in school, just so down to earth where sometimes you get those players that are just so about them and so focused on what they're doing and their numbers. And yeah, she scores a lot of goals. She tries to help her teammates just as much by providing those assists. And she's one of those players too, that we've got what high school soccer does. We've got her playing out of her position. She's a midfielder. She's a central midfielder. And last year we knew we had to fill a goal scoring void that we have not had in quite a few years since those state teams. And Gab was that gal where it's like, hey, we're going to ask you to play forward. She's like, coach, I've never really played forward. It's like, we've got confidence that you can go out and do this. And she goes in and gets double digit goals 2 years in a row now. And it's just been so great to see her succeed on the field and just with a great personality. And just there's nobody more deserving of having these seasons than Gabby. It's just been awesome for her.
Yeah, and she's also got a lot of help, especially up front in the midfield when you talk about Stockhausen, you know, her sister Haley Stockhausen. I mean, there's just a lot of depth for you up front and in the midfield to where say Gabby's not having the type of day that you really expect her to do, or, you know, teams are really doubling down on her a little bit, you know that you can get it out to somebody else and they can get you a goal.
Absolutely. And that's where Allie and I really started to realize that this year early on, Gab was scoring right away and getting on the score sheet in any way that she could, but so was everybody else. It's like, for now we're balancing it out where we have multiple girls, you know, putting up, you know, 5 to 10 goals. And yeah, the Stockhausen sisters have been phenomenal for us. Haley Stockhausen is another one in that senior class that came in as a freshman, plays out of position. She's a winger, you know, and loves to get on the wing and run and attack people. But she's so versatile and such a great athlete. See what she does on the basketball court, and that transfers right over to the soccer field. And she'll do anything she can to better our team and what's best for the team. And just a phenomenal player. And then, yeah, her younger sister, freshman Katie Stockhausen, has been a spark plug for us. And, you know, playing now, she's strictly playing with the varsity, but she did some swinging early on. And, you know, it's about midway through, it's like, all right, we got to kind of protect her and not overwork her. But yeah, that's another one. She doesn't back down from a challenge, no matter if it's a big team or a big matchup, because she's a little gal and she goes up against anybody, and she's got the moves that can slice and dice people wide open and finds her teammates or just opens up a hole for herself and goes to score. But those two have been helping us out. You know, the Mattingly sisters helping us out. Yeah, we've been getting goals from everybody, and that's what helps, because yeah, when there was a week when we played Notre Dame and Rosati, that Gab was out sick, and it's just like, all right, girls, now it's not your turn to step up. We can't be a one woman show here. And they proved that we weren't. And I think that week right there was so beneficial for us mentally. It's like, hey, we're a great team, and we were just without our leading goal scorer and our captain, and we still got the job done here in some tough games. So that's rewarding to see that all these girls helping, chipping in and stepping up.
Well, you know, the offense is one thing, but once again, two goals allowed all year long. It starts on the back line and it finishes with Reese Potts. What a terrific year that young lady has had in between the pipes for you.
She's a stud. You know, talk about a gamer too. I mean, this gal, she gets up to playing games, and it's one of those. She's a sophomore. She played a few games here and there last year, and talking to her at the beginning of the season, she's like, I'm really glad that I wasn't the number one as a freshman, because I got to sit in and learn the high school game. It's different from club soccer. She got to understand what it's about, and sitting there warming up for our first game this year, she was a different person. And you knew we were going to get a special season out of her. And even though she doesn't wear the captain's armband, this is her team. She does not stop talking, communicating, you know, telling her teammates, telling her defense where to be. And she takes over those games, and she's a special player, an extremely talented goalkeeper, and yeah, just been a force back there for us. And our girls feel comfortable with her back there. They know that if they make a mistake, Reese is back there to help them. And that also gives us, you know, the courage to kind of press forward a little bit against the Dominic and against, you know, a Zoom Wald or whoever, Notre Dame. Like, we know we can go up and enforce the issue a little bit offensively, because Reese is just a force to be reckoned with back there. She makes the basic saves that she needs to, and then she makes those highlight reel saves that just kind of have you jaw dropped on the sideline or in the stands, like, man, this girl's pretty darn good, and takes notice of coaches, referees, fans alike. They all see what kind of special player she is, and I'm sure some college coaches are taking note as well.
Talk about where girls soccer has been and come to, you know, and this is something I've had a chance to talk to a lot of the coaches about this spring, is, you know, the evolution of where girls soccer was. And I'll say this, and, you know, you may disagree with me, but I think you guys in the mid 2010s really started to, you know, with those state runs that you all had, to kind of put more of a spotlight on girls soccer. And now you're seeing St. Dom with, you know, the last couple of years they've had, Zumwalt South with the last couple of years that they've had, you know, St. Joe's, and, you know, like me and you were talking earlier today about, you know, I was picking your brain about some of the teams, you know, the top 10 poll. It's like, let's flip coins, because it's so even balanced, and it's great to see the competition that the girls are putting out day in and day out. And also, I think, too, you know, with girls soccer, having, you know, Becky Soderbrunn giving back to the St. Louis community like she did helping Ladue with their girls program. You know, Lori Kolupny going to the college ranks at Maryville, you know, being in town. I think that's had a lot to do with the success of girls soccer here in the metro area.
Absolutely. And I think it can go all the way back to the U.S. women's national team in 99. That kind of put youth soccer and especially girls soccer on the map in the forefront. And these, you know, these girls got excited about it. Now these girls are, you know, out of college and, you know, a few years out of college that grew up under that, you know, era of watching soccer when it first got going. Now we're seeing kind of the second wave of the Alex Morgan, Abby Wambach, Carly Lloyd era. And that's kind of when we were coming up in the teens and having our good years. And you're seeing that with the Sauerbruns and the Kolupnys locally. It's like, man, if these girls can do that, you know, this, they went to Ladue, you know, they're all local, and then they go and do great things in college. And then you see them on the national team. It's like, well, why can't I do that? You know, why can't I train, you know, my whole life to go achieve that goal? And you're starting to see these girls believe in themselves here more and more year after year. And club soccer is getting better. High school soccer is getting much better, much more competitive. And it's not just one team always running away with it. It's just so many good teams. And we're blessed in the St. Louis, Illinois metro area to have just such talented young soccer players, young, you know, female soccer players, and just great coaches from all around the area, club and high school alike, all working together to get these girls the best possible training and the most opportunities that they can to display their skills, whether it's, you know, club, ODP, high school. They're getting it from all angles, and then that's getting them to the next level, the college, and then they're taking care of, like, hey, I've made it to the next step here. Why not go one further and let's go pro? And you're seeing, you know, what happened with some of these gals at SLU and Maryville that are going to play overseas. And it's just really exciting to see that. And that's just, I think we're just scratching the surface. I think we're going to get into it more and more here the next 5-10 years. We're going to see an even bigger push and more girls get out there.
How much fun are you having as a coach? I mean, you know, every time me and you talk, it's that excitement level, and you just love talking girls soccer. How much fun are you still having coaching after many years and many state championships? You seem like it's your first year, and you're so excited to still be out there.
I love it. I'm a soccer junkie, so I love it, and but do it every day, you know, as long as my wife and kids allow me to, and God love them for doing that. And it helps me on the girls' side, especially, to work with a phenomenal assistant coach, Allie Toon, who played at Duchenne, won a championship in 09 with us, our first girls' championship, went on and had a great career at St. Louis University. And that helps me especially because with the girls, it's tougher for, you know, a 37-year-old guy to relate to high school girls isn't always the easiest, you know. So having Allie next to me, you know, working side by side with her, it's some days where, you know, I'm just there. It's like, all right, Al, do your thing here. And, you know, tactically, she's great. Strategically, you know, she does everything she can to help us. But she's kind of the same there with me. We both love our school. We're both, you know, pioneers through and through. And that helps come out every day because you're doing it for a school that you love, a sport that you love so much. And it's just so much fun, you know, to get out there and Missouri high school soccer, St. Louis especially high school soccer, is just something different for me. It hits a little bit differently with how competitive it is, and you know the relationship that the teams have, that the coaches have, the competitive, you know, rivalries that are out there. You got us and Dominic, you know, us and Luther, and then you get the all girls schools going at each other, the big public schools going at each other, and then now in the postseason, it's kind of altering here with the different classifications. It's like, all right, now we're getting new rivals where, you know, I've paid a little bit more attention to a Zumwalt South this year, past 2 years, than we have in the past. But, you know, I would not trade it for the world. I'm fortunate where my day job allows me, you know, I can flex my hours during the season. And yeah, sometimes it's burning a candle at both ends, but at the end of the day, it's for the kids, you know, for they love the sport. And as long as they're having fun and competing and, you know, I love doing it and love to go out and compete. I think that's what keeps me coming out. That's, you know, year after year, we won those championships. And the next year was always like, all right, let's do it again. You know, every year you're going to come out and compete. And shoot, that's how I am in any sport, really, to go out and play golf. Every time I go, I want to shoot as best I can. I want to get a hole in one. Every time I go bowling on my Thursday night league, I'm going for a 300, baby. So we're going to go out and we're going to compete, and the kids feed off of that. So it just makes it a very fun environment to go out and coach in. And I'm hoping for the girls to go out and play, and I'm hoping they're having as much fun too.
No doubt about it. Well, it's always great to talk to you, Pat. Love talking soccer with you. And, you know, thank you for everything you've done for girls soccer here in the area. And I know the districts are coming up, the draws this week. We'll find out who's going to get who and all that fun stuff. But I wish you all the nothing but the best of luck coming up here over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully run into you down at the state Final Four over at Soccer Park.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you. Yeah, we want to get down to a Final Four this year. We've always been to Kansas City, so we want to play in one in front of our hometown fans. So we're gonna do everything we can. We know we got a few big obstacles in front of us, but you got to believe. You got to get out and play the game, and that's what we're going to do.
No doubt about it. Thanks so much, Pat. Good luck the rest of the way, buddy.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks, Danny Mack, too, as well. We appreciate what you guys are doing.
No problem, buddy. Patrick Turner, the head coach at Deschenes on the girls' soccer side. And what a great show once again. Always great to have our guests, James Efron, John Paniglia, and Pat Turner joining us. And next week, we'll continue the mantra of spring sports. We'll have district draws in baseball and girls' soccer in the books. We'll talk it over with some of the great coaches, and we'll keep you going as we are coming up very close to the state playoffs starting here in a couple weeks in the state of Missouri. I'm Jim Powers. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast. Here on Scoops at DannyMack.com, and we'll see you next week.